Good morning. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to Psalm 62? It will also come up on the screen behind me. The truth of this psalm is the truth that we've been teaching the children all week. A psalm of David. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. We live at a time where everything in the world seems to be looking very shaky. Do you agree with me about that? This is when I talk to people, this is what people say to me. You think about, on a big scale, the breakdown in confidence across the board in some of the institutions by which our society, by which our world has run for decades, are crumbling. The threat of global warming, an environmental disaster, a total breakdown in the value of truth. We can no longer trust what people are saying to us. Telling the truth or telling lies is so cheap these days. It's just fickle opportunism. Whatever words will secure advantage rather than holding to the truth. There's great confusion about identity, who we are, about gender, male and female, about sexuality. Cooperation between nations is getting worse. And yet, there's no imminent threat of war. There's wars all the time, but nothing as bad as the Second World War. But writing into the immediate aftermath of the Second World War, the words that I've just spoken were spoken by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he said, such a context of everything crumbling is a great test for each one of us. Every one of us has a view about what makes life work. And when everything is crumbling around us, when everything's looking shaky, then our view is tested. Our worldview, our understanding. Can we explain why the world the way is? Can we explain why the world is how it is? Can we explain what has gone wrong? And if we cannot, if we can find no hope in our thinking, in our worldview, then our worldview is inadequate and we need a new one. The Bible gives us a very clear explanation for the present state of the world. So why are we depressed? Why are we stressed? Why are we fearful? Why are we disillusioned? Why are we despairing? Because the Bible has told us that this is what it's like when we turn our back on God. This is what it's like when we rely on ourselves, when we don't listen to God's word, when we hear his direction, but we say, I can do it myself. That is what's happening across the world today. Is it any wonder that it all seems so shaky? When we have rejected the unshakable achievements of God and his unshakable promises about the future. So how can we have an unshakable faith? This is not just big picture, this is personal. There may be things happening that are shaking your world today. And I want to give you the good news that you can have an unshakable faith. I want to look first with you at David, his unshakable faith, spoken of in Psalm 62, where twice he says, I shall never be shaken. I shall never be moved. And then if it was the case for David to have an unshakable faith, how much more can we have an unshakable faith when we have the whole witness of the New Testament, the preaching of the apostles about Jesus Christ coming into the world and dying on the cross and rising from the dead and his promises for the future of the world, of building a kingdom that can never be shaken. That so many things in this world are being shaken right now. But God is going to shake everything, and all that's going to remain is that which God has planted and that which God is growing. And everything else will be destroyed. And so David, walk with me through this psalm. And we can see that this psalm is quite a unique psalm because it's not so much a prayer as a testimony. We had three testimonies this week at Holiday Club. Each one of them was three testimonies on the Friday of Holiday Club. And each person taking part, I'm sure, got great assurance in their faith as they testified. So what is David's testimony? We can see it here in verses 1 and 2, first of all. He says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, he repeats his testimony. But this time, he's not just declaring to those who want to listen about the God who rescues him, about the God who's with him at all times, the God who's a, a, a source of security. Alan said as he began the service today, there is no more secure place than being in the family of God. Well, wasn't that a true statement? That's right here in this psalm. That's right here in this message. There is no more secure place than being in the family of God. It's the most secure place in the whole world. Why? Because it's God's family. And God is a refuge. God is a fortress. God is a loving, powerful God who has the whole world in his hands, and he has your life in his hands. And he wants to bless, to build up, to guide. So don't stray from his family. Don't think you can survive on your own, because you can't. It'll be the most unhappy place in the world if God's Son, who died on the cross for you and that you received by faith, if you are not in his family, you will just have so much unease. Just like anyone who's separated from their parents is never truly secure. Our great parent is God the Father, and he wants us to come home. He wants you to come home. So he's preaching to himself. He's saying, "Find rest, O my soul." Do you need to preach to yourself? It's a good practice. Martin Luther recommended it. Preaching to yourself. You may say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." Yes, you are. Preach to yourself. Apply the word. All these words we heard this morning that the children were learning. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Wonderful words, true words. But are they applied words? Have you applied them into your life? Are you preaching them to yourself when the evidence around suggests that life is shaky? You see, for David, he didn't have an easy life. He had a life of enemies. He had intimidation. He had physical attacks, but he also, perhaps even more painfully, he had verbal attacks. He had lies spoken about him. He says in verse 4, they take delight in lies. People who on the surface appear to be with you, but in their hearts, they're against you. Very difficult to deal with. And David knows that the struggles and the battles with enemies is not just a physical seen thing. It's an unseen thing. The most famous story is David and Goliath. And when he's faced with this giant in front of him, David said that what's at stake here is not who's going to win this fight between you and me. What's at stake here is the honor of God. Because the taunts of Goliath are an insult to God. Just as the taunts of the Assyrian ruler who shouted on the walls of Jerusalem to Hezekiah, "Your God's not going to save you. There is only one powerful person in the world, and he's the king of Assyria. So give up your faith and follow the kingdom of this world, the king of Assyria." Isn't that what happens today when we think of the confusion in our world about sexuality, for example? The Bible says that we should be married. how silly it is, we think, we're told to wait until we're married and then to remain faithful to someone for all of your life. People tell us that's just not going to work anymore. It's old-fashioned. And we're bombarded with an undermining of truth. But David says here that he is at rest in amongst all of these enemies, in amongst all of these assaults to the mind, these voices that crowd around him. He's at rest in his soul because his mind and his soul is trusting in God. He says in Psalm 131, I'm like a little child, like a weaned child at a mother's breast. I don't try and understand it all. I just trust. In Psalm 73, the psalmist says, all these successful people that don't give a jot about God, they seem to be getting on fine. They seem to be quite happy. And I'm trusting in God, and my life is so difficult. And it seems so oppressive to me that they would have such a carefree life, and I'm putting my trust in God, and my life is so difficult. And it seems so oppressive to me until I came into the sanctuary, and then it became clear to me that this life is not the end, and that these folks who are living for this life, who are not living for God, in the end, they will be destroyed. They don't have eternal life. Psalm 73. And it was in the sanctuary, in the place of worship, that he got that revelation. And that's why we need to come to church even when we don't feel like it. Even when we have a low expectation that anything is going to happen. Because if we're not there, we might miss God's word for us. And when God speaks, don't refuse him. So you have David's testimony, his trial, his trust. His trust is at all times, he says. Verse 8. How do you do that practically? He says you pour out your heart to him. What is this book of Psalms? 150 examples of how to pour out our heart to God at all times in stressful situations when we're under pressure. It's all there for us. And if we don't have the words, God has given us the words. We can pray the Psalms. And to trust in God is to declare his lordship over all things. And that means we have to turn away from other things that we put before him. Speaks about money here. Probably the most powerful God that will face any of us in our lives in 21st century Western culture. Money. It's ever so alluring, ever so promising. But experience teaches, speak to old people, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't deliver life. So he finishes with his treasure. He has his testimony, his trial, his trust, his call to trust, and his treasure. And his treasure is God himself, his personal relationship with God. And it's worship. He says he's heard things about God, and he responds in worship. He's heard that God is a God of unfailing love, a God of loyal love, a God who sticks by his people, a God of hesed. And God is powerful. Although it seems as if the world is shaky, and that no one's in control. Heard someone say recently, is God out of his depth? Is God overwhelmed? Is God's entry too big? Is he struggling with all of this? God is powerful. Well, where is God? Well, this is why we need the New Testament. And we take the same 4 points and we look at it from a New Testament perspective. And we start with the testimony, and I want to apply this to ourselves and say, almost everyone here has heard the gospel. Almost everyone here has heard the good news. What is your testimony? What is your testimony in a shaky world where everything is shaking? What is your testimony about the rescuer God, the one who sent his son to die on the cross? Can you take hold of the words that are spoken in Scripture and build your life on them and share them? Because God will use these words powerfully. The words passed on to us by the apostles. I want to speak, first of all, because there's two things that David says here that are fleshed out in great detail. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Fleshed out. Fleshed out. God became flesh. We have the Word of God, but we have the Son of God. God has spoken to us in many ways in the past through David, through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us in the flesh, in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of God. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Perfect life. Death on the cross for all of us. So let's look at the power of God, which is the salvation of everyone who believes. That's very important this morning if you have never heard. That the way that this power to be secure, the way this love which will make you secure is received into your life is through believing the gospel, which is the power of God to transform you. Look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a demonstration of love. That we were powerless, but God came to us when we were powerless. When we did not live a life pleasing to God, when we lived an ungodly life, he came and he died for us. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we are still sinners, he dies for us. And it is his blood shed on the cross is where the power is. The power to redeem us, to set us free from guilt, from shame, from the penalty of sin, judgment. On the cross, he pays the price. The perfect man dies in our place. The blood of Christ not only redeems us, it saves us. We've been telling the children all week that he's a rescuer. What's he rescuing us from? So crucial that we don't forget this. He saves us from the wrath of God. Because God is holy and God is just. And he would not be worthy of our worship if he was not perfect. But he is perfect in all his ways. And that means that all the evil and injustice in the world needs to be held to account. And there is a final judgment coming. But God saves us from punishment and condemnation because his beautiful Son dies in our place. His blood saves us. His blood redeems us. His blood justifies us. We are guilty. We are so guilty. But as we put our trust In Jesus Christ, Son of God, we are declared not guilty. We are unrighteous. All, even our best efforts, are like filthy rags. But we are made spotless, clean, unblemished, perfect. That's how powerful our God is. And that power was revealed in the fact that he did not remain dead, but was raised to life in the resurrection. He was not only raised to life in the resurrection, physical resurrection, he ascended to the throne of God and is seated in the highest place, which is a testimony to all God's enemies that Jesus of Nazareth has triumphed over all. So that is why Horatio Spafford, having lost so much in his life, multiple bereavements, inexplicable suffering, can say these words: "Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My soul is at rest because God is my salvation. It's well with my soul. No matter how much is thrown at me in life, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless, powerless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." So if you're in trials today, and if you're a Christian, you are in trials. Because Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, tribulation, but fear not, take courage, I have overcome the world. It's not just about keeping calm and trusting in God. I know some of you might only remember one sentence of this, so this is for you, okay? Keep calm, trust in God, and carry on. Persevere. Consider him who endured so much for you, that you would endure to the end. Because believing in Christ, trusting in God, is not a one-off thing. It is a process. It is an ongoing daily thing. And you need to persevere to the end to be saved. But here's the good news, that God is sending his Son to us. God is sending his Son to us, and he is coming again. He is coming again, and he's bringing to us a new thing. God is going to do all things new. All the suffering, all the sorrow, all the pain that is causing so much grief. Remember Christ's words, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he says that his voice shook the earth when he was here, but now he has promised, not only will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. That he will, there's be a final shaking where this world will be destroyed and Jesus will bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And that the final judgment, he will ask us one question: what did you do with my Son? Did you refuse him? Did you hear him? Did you trust in him? And that is why with David, we need to treasure him. We need to worship him acceptably with reverence and with awe. We need to give our life to him. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. He is powerful. He is loving. Love so amazing. Love so divine. Demands our life, our very all. And that is true worship. Submission, surrender, service. Even with the small steps that Alan has outlined today, to step forward and to make a contribution to the family of God. Every contribution counts for eternity. So what is your testimony? How are you coping with the trials? What are you trusting in? And where is your treasure? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you offer us your Son, Jesus Christ. And if we have Jesus, we have all we need. And I pray today, first of all, thanking you that we're here today, thanking you that the words of life are in our ears, in our hearts. Help us to take this, trusting in you, to the next step. Help us to move forward. Help us to help each other. May we be available for anyone after the service who needs to know how to become a follower of Jesus. We pray for those that are drifting away, that they would hold on, that they would renew their trust, they would persevere. And we pray, O God, that we will not just worship you as one God amongst many gods, but that we will worship you alone. For you alone are our rock, you alone are our fortress, you alone are our salvation. Help us to give you our whole hearts, O Lord of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.